It's really hard to preach a sermon after that, isn't it? Oh, the presence of God is an incredible thing. I think that's why I come to church, isn't it? Where we corporately come into the presence of God and we feel His power and His anointing and His presence. And we feel that glory, the glory of God. You know, glory means heaviness. So when you feel heavy in worship, it's not a bad thing. You know, you say, well, I can't stand anymore. It's just really heavy. And I feel that now. Don't you feel that heaviness now? No, just one. That's all right. Two of us do. But hopefully the rest of you will soon. Yeah. It's that heaviness of God's glory, of God's presence, of the expectancy of what God's going to do and say and meet with us and heal us and restore us and set us free from all that binds us, all the things that have occupied us during the week that's distracted us from His glory, His presence and His love. He's going to take them and He's going to make it whole and He's going to bring His peace and His joy and touch our lives. I've got to preach a sermon, my goodness me. And I think when you stand here, there's nothing that you can say, there's nothing that you can bring that can be better than the Spirit of God moving and taking control and declaring what God does. That's why I never have any notes. I just don't bring anything. I just say, God, you do. Dave panics all the time. I'll disturb his life, his order, but it's just, you've got to trust God. I know what I want to say. I've got it in my mind, but I want the Spirit of God to take it. That's why I can't get there a moment, because I'm just enjoying the presence. So give me a minute to get to the reading and trust God. If I can see the page, here we go. Yeah. So it's Matthew chapter 14. My beard may rub off this microphone, so don't worry. Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 to 33. And it's titled, Jesus Walks on Water. Much, much more than that. My voice is going weird, isn't it? So immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he dismissed them, he went up a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone. And the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, he said. Why did you doubt? And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly you are the Son of God. And when they crossed over, they landed in Gennesaret. And when the men of this place recognized Jesus, they sent word to all the surrounding country. People brought all who were ill to him and begged him to let those who were ill just touch the edge of his cloak, and all who touched it were healed. Wow. That's the presence of God, isn't it? Calms the storm, heals the sick, does incredible things. And this is why I want to start here. When we start talking about the beginning of the Christian faith, of taking that walk into faith, of beginning to learn what it means to follow Jesus and to live like Jesus and to show Jesus' love and hope and love to the world. What does that mean for us? Does that mean just coming along to church like we've always done for 50 years or 30 years or 10 years or 2 years or 1 year or 6 months and just falling into the routine of coming to church, going to work? Kind of, will I pray? Did I forget to pray? Did I read my Bible? Did I meet with God and sort of come to church on Sunday and hope everything will just be good? And it always is good Sunday, isn't it? It's good to be in the presence of God. But God's calling us to something deeper than just a routine life. The routine life of a Christian, as it's culturally become. There's so many of us have just become cultural Christians, haven't we? We've just fallen into the routine of what it means to be Christian and observe people in the church being Christian and just sort of plod along. And by accident, we've sort of fell in love with God and Jesus and living a life. But God calls us to be disciples, learners of Jesus, followers of him, to live like him and be like him. That he's the Christ, he's the anointed one. He calls us to be anointed and live an anointed life. Anointed means to be filled with the Holy Spirit and led by the Spirit and doing what the Spirit wants us to do in our life. So that means submission and giving over to God, which is hard for us sometimes, isn't it? Because we've got our own ways, our own things, our own desires. So here's Jesus. He's absolutely surrounded by people. Everywhere Jesus goes, he's a superstar. You know, he may not get up from the bike, but he's a superstar. Wherever he goes, thousands of people surround him. There's times that Jesus walks and he can't take a footstep because there's someone there. He can't go to the side because of someone. He can't go backwards to somebody. And he can't go that side because there's someone there. He just can't move. He's surrounded by people. In this account, we find that he's got a boat and went out in a boat to have time with his father by himself. And then he comes back off the boat and then he gets surrounded by people again and he preaches to them. It's always a good point. And then he feeds them. And then he sends them off and then he sends his disciples off in a boat into a storm. And he goes up a hill to pray to his father. Because central to everything that Jesus does and says is the will of his Father in heaven. Can we say that about ourselves? Is everything that we do and say and act and live and show love subjected to the will of our Father, that we're only saying the words that our Father in heaven wants to say? We're only doing the things that our Father in heaven wants us to do. Are we so submitted? And we can only know and do what God, our Father, wants us to do in heaven when we submit ourselves to him in intimacy. And Jesus had intimacy with his Father. Whenever he could escape the crowds, whenever he could get away, what was he doing? Was he watching Netflix? Was he watching something about that? What's it called again? The midwives, you know. When Jesus chilled out, he went to his Father. And he spent time with his Father in heaven. And he prayed to him and he was intimacy with him. And he said, Father, fill me, teach me, show me what I need to do when I go back surrounded by these sounds of people who want healing, who want to touch my cloak and be healed. What pressure is that, isn't it? I want that pressure in my life. You know, I want to be so close to my Father, I walk out and people are healed. And that people walk in this church and people are healed and transformed and touched by the presence of God because we're so close to our Father that we know intimately what he wants from us in our lives. It's not all the same. It's all different. You have to get your own relationship. Sorry. So it's hard work. And Jesus sends his disciples off into a storm. And he sends them, we guess, probably about, it's probably 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock at night. So it's getting dark. And their aim is to get to a small fishing village. It's about 3 miles, 4 miles up the coast. And because it's dark, they're not going to go right into the lake and sail. They're going to go along the coast. So they're going along the coast and they're looking for the lights. They've got their lights and they're trying to get up this coast to safety. And all of a sudden a storm blows in. And the storm, instead of being going along 3 miles along the coast, they end out 3 miles. It's in the lake. They're 3 miles out in the middle of the lake, buffeted by storms, buffeted by waves.
that these guys are experienced fishermen. They're used to boats. They're used to being out there in storms. They're used to doing this. But they were so afraid by this storm. They thought they were going to die. They thought this was the end of their life. And they're probably thinking, why did Jesus send us out into this? Why didn't we stay with him? I don't know about you, sometimes I feel like that in my life. I said, why has Jesus sent me into this storm? Why am I in this chaos? Why am I in this around me? Why am I in these circumstances? Why am I in this sense of being buffeted by waves? Why do I feel like I'm going to drown in the circumstances around me, be it work or finances or life or family or sickness? You know, whatever we face and encounter, there just seems to be a different storm, isn't it? A different wave, a different thing we were encountering. We're saying, Jesus, where are you? It's lovely you're having your time with your Father, but I'm stuck in a storm. I need your help. I'm drowning. I'm dying. I can't cope anymore. Do you feel it? I do all the time. I did when I walked through the door. You're like, oh my. And we felt that storm, you know, when Lucia and I, you know, we were in a church we were very happy in. You know, we were starting to see the Spirit of God move. We saw people who were resistant to the Holy Spirit and God moving their lives, all of a sudden embracing the Holy Spirit. And I remember one member, you know, who, you know, probably didn't even think about crying in church and things like that. When, you know, when we played Oceans, she would come up and lead the junior church and she'd be in tears going, oh, God's so good. And it's, you know, I can't believe what's happening here. And I've got to do the junior church. And to see that transformation of being a place which was a desert place to see God moving and doing things. And then God suddenly says to us, you've got to move. You say, oh, no, God, we're very cozy here. It's very comfortable. I know what I'm doing. It's quite easy. It's not too difficult. You know, I've got the suss of this, God, you know, as he God says, I want you to move. And then we have to go through station. And you think it's a lottery. What about us? Have you seen the profiles of churches? My goodness me. And we say, we trust. So we were faithful. We trusted God and said, God, yeah. We're going to do it. We're going to be obedient. I said to Lisa, yeah. We're going to do it. And she said, yeah, we can do it, Gary, but just don't put anywhere north of London, you know. So see, God's plans, really. That's the. I got the profiles and I wept. I said, God, we're in a place where you're bringing blessing, where there's anointing happening, where lives have been changed, and you're taking us out into this desert of Methodism. God help us, you know, I mean, these churches seem dead, you know, it's like, oh my goodness me. And there's a few glimmers of light, but the majority of them is like, oh, I just can't see how I could minister there. I don't see how I could live there. And then originally I put this church in my profile, and then Lucia said, no, don't put that in, it's too far north. I said, Lucia, it's just north of London. She goes, oh, well, yeah, we'll consider it. And then she said, no, and I took it out. And about 2 days before I had to submit my profile to the district chair, I went through this again, the profiles again, and little over just kept on coming up. Time and time again. And I went to see, I said, you see, I'm sorry if you don't want to go north of London, but I've got to put this church in here. I feel God saying to me, this is the church I need to go to. This is the place that God's called me to. If I were to go to any church in this, all these profiles, this would be the church that I would want, that feels it fits right for me, that feel that God's sends. And she said, that church is in, that church is up north. If you put that in there, we're going to definitely get that, Gary. So, she's prophetic sometimes. So the district chair phoned up and he says, Gary, you're going to Littleover. Then Lucia's going, where are we going? London? Where are we going? This place, that place, that what? I goes, Littleover. And do you know what she did? She jumped with joy. No, she didn't. She cried. And I'll tell you, I'm not lying. I think she cried. She cried from the district chair phone at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and she cried until 5 o'clock that next evening. And she cried, and she wouldn't talk to me, and she went upstairs to the bedroom upstairs, and I said, Lucia, let's pray about it. God must be in this. Oh, I hate you. You're taking me to the North Pole. I don't want to go to the North Pole. It's freezing up there. I've only got one pair of Uggs. You know, I can't cope. What have you done to me? And I said, Lucia, you said to God, take us where you want to take us. Take us to the place which is fruitful, where we're going to see abundance in life, where we're going to see the Spirit move. God's done that. Why are you upset? Because I want what I want. And then we came up, and the first visit, she fell in love with the church, and she was just excited about coming after that. But sometimes you have to go through those storms. You have to be obedient. You have to just trust in God and pray to God and seek God. And it's not always where you want to be. It's not always the circumstances you want your life to be. But you have to trust God in the storm, even when it feels like God's not there with you. Even when you feel like God sent you in that storm and left you in it, you've got to go through it. And then, of course, Jesus, he's prayed all night with his Father. He's been up there. He's been having a chilled out time, you know, away in the Holy Spirit. Yay! It's your breath in my lungs. And he's walking across the water going, yay! Oh, God's so good. He doesn't even know it's a storm. He's so with God. He's walking over the storm, the waves, and the storm's not bothering him. Circumstances, life, money, Judas with the accounts. He doesn't care. The cross ahead. I'm just walking on the water. I'm just going across. Yeah, everything's good. And the disciples are going, ah, we're tired. And they see Jesus, but they think Jesus is a ghost. And in Roman times and Jewish times, that time, a ghost was an omen that you're going to die. So they see this ghost coming, and they go, ah, we're going to die even more. That's it. We just saw a ghost, guys. We're going to die. That's it. We're finished. And we're done for. We're dead. In the sense that Jesus came in the fourth watch. And the fourth watch is around 3 a.m. to 6 p.m. And in Israel, it's known as the darkest hour. Isn't that amazing? So Jesus comes to them in the storm, in the place that they're thinking they're going to die. They think it's the end of their life, where there's no hope for them. And Jesus comes in the darkest hour, and he brings hope. But of all the disciples, most of them thought it was a ghost and they were going to die even more, and it gave them greater panic. That's us, isn't it? But one disciple, Peter, saw, I think that's Jesus. Nothing's impossible for Jesus. I believe it's Jesus who could be walking across that water. Isn't that great faith? Instead of worrying if something's going to bring you doom in heart, that you see Jesus walking across your circumstances, your debt, your bereavement, your work, your evil manager. You know, Jesus is walking over those circumstances. And Peter cries out, if it's you, Lord, just say the word, and I'll come out and walk on the water with you. And Jesus is quite a literal person across the Gospels, because he gave a word. He just said, come. Isn't that true? God, he didn't really give us much. He just said, do it. Go. Step out in faith. Go. If you're expecting a big kind of message from God, he just says, go. Come. Do it. If there's nothing else, do it. If somebody comes and gives you a prophecy, I'll probably just do it. You know what it is. Do it. So Peter's looking around, and he's looking at all these people panicking and fearful, thinking they're going to die, looking at their circumstances, going that. He's thinking, my goodness me, I don't want to be with these chaps. I want to be out there with Jesus. I think that's a better bet. I think I'd rather be out there with Jesus, walking on the storm, walking over the fear, walking over the doubt, walking over the worry, rather than being in the boat with these people who think they're going to die. And that's a lesson for our life. We're better to be walking with Jesus, trusting with him, being with him, stepping out the boat into the water, rather than staying in the boat and worrying with all the fears. And I'm sure as Peter stepped out, And he's walking on that storm. He's walking over those waves. He's hearing all those people crying out. They're all shouting, "Peter, you're an utter. Peter, you're crazy. Don't do it. Step back. Get back in the boat." How easy is it for us to do that to each other as we step in faith? "Oh, don't do that. Don't step out. Oh, you're crazy. Oh, don't lift your hands up. They'll think you're mad charismatic." You know, it's kind of, it's all these things, you know, people saying to us, and you just got to go, "Oh, I'm stepping out. I'm going where Jesus is. I don't care. I'm not listening to your cries. I'm going where Jesus is going. I'm going with him, and I'm walking on that water." You know, and I was sort of challenged yesterday because we went down to Derby City Centre. We were walking and we didn't realise it was a pride. So we walked in the middle of the pride parade and it was exciting. Not the best dressed people in the world, but we walked in the middle of pride, and as we walked through it, we said, "Where's the Christian presence? Where's people talking about God here? Does anybody know it's on?" And then as we walked through, we went for the cathedral, who are showing all these sort of films I wouldn't want to see. But as I went through and then down and by, and we started to go towards the Into Centre. And then one after the other, we saw three preachers. And one preacher, he was just going, "God, Bible." He's a bit scared, you know. You could see really bold out there, but he was just too terrified to actually speak out loud. He was just mumbling away things and the odd words coming out. And then we saw another guy, and he was just so lost, shouting in the air, going, "La, la, God, there's Bible, not, oh, condemn this, and blah, blah." Totally gone, you know. Just couldn't, you know, you couldn't follow him. He was just, he's off on his own planet. But there was these two chaps there, and you couldn't avoid that they were there for Jesus, because they're wearing aprons that says Jesus loves you on you, you know, come into God's kingdom, all these different scriptures on these aprons, and they're standing there, and the guy's just shouting out, "God loves you," and, you know, "Come to Jesus, bring hope," and stuff like that. And if people were queuing up to pray with them, and they were speaking to people, and they were engaging with people, and Lucia said, "Go and talk to them." I'm like, no, it's too embarrassing. Yeah, she said, go and talk to them. But I was talking to one chap, I think he's Michael, his name, and I said, "So what compels you to do this?" And he said, "Well, I was in my house group, and I was praying to God, and God just spoke to me, and I felt this call to go out and do something on the streets, to talk to people, to share God's love." And I said, "Oh, God, I can't do that." And then God said to me, "Who do you fear most? Do you fear them most, or do you fear me more?" And he said, "I fear you, Lord, more. I'm off. I'm doing it." So he was in the middle of the street, and he goes all around different cities and preaching God's word, almost getting arrested because just standing there, he offends people. That's amazing. That just being Christian and standing there offends people, that they want to arrest you. I find that incredible. But he stepped out in faith and trust in God, doing something that most of us would be probably terrified to do, because his fear of God is greater than his fear of man. And so Peter steps out in faith. He's there. He's gone for it. And then, of course, what happens? Happens to us every week, doesn't it? We leave here and circumstances come and, "Oh, we've got church council, we've got this, we've got work, we've got this circumstance, we've got family circumstances, we've got cancer, we've got other things, and we've got hospital appointments," and all the circumstances and distractions come in, don't we? And we just sort of start to sink. And Peter was the same. He was there. He started listening to the voices, the disciples shouting, "You're mad, you're crazy." He started to listen to the waves and the wind. And he began to sink. He goes, "Jesus, help me." That should be our words every day. "Jesus, help me. Pull me up. I'm sinking." And Jesus pulls him up and says, "Oh, you have little faith. Why don't you trust me?" Aren't we of little faith sometimes? We don't trust him. And he goes back into the boat. What happens when they go in the boat? I'm going to finish in a minute. Don't worry. What happens when they go in the boat? What happens when they go back in the boat? Somebody shout. Were you listening? The storm calmed, and then what happened after the storm calmed? No. When the storm was calmed, Jesus entered the boat. Never did anything, didn't say anything to him, just calmed as soon as Jesus entered into the boat, into their circumstances, into the situation. When Jesus came into it, the storm calmed because Jesus was there. And the disciples worshipped him. They worshipped him. In the darkest hour, when they feared death, when everything was against them, when the circumstances were against them, when everything was going wrong, Jesus came in the darkest hour and he brought calm to the storm. And they recognized when the moment when they thought they were going to die that God was with them. And they worshipped Jesus in that darkest, most difficult, most challenging place of their life. And they'd seen Jesus do miracles, feed 5,000 people just healed by touching his cloak, but they didn't worship him then. They worshipped him in the darkest hour when they faced death, when he came into their circumstances and he transformed and they got down and they said, "You are the Son of God." And they worshipped him. So in your darkest hour, when you fear death, when your circumstances overcome you, Jesus can come and he can calm the storm. And in the darkest places, we worship him. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for your love for us. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon his life. We thank you that even the darkest, most difficult, challenging times in our lives, when we think we're out at sea, when we're far away from you, that you are still there calling out to us. Calling us to step in faith, to step above our circumstances, to step above our worries, to step above our fears, to step above our finances, to step above our work, and to trust in you and to walk above those circumstances and to recognize who you are in our lives, that you are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Son of God, and that we worship you in the darkest and most difficult places, Lord. And our faith begins here and now, that in the challenges that we face, Lord, in the difficulties we face as individuals, as a community, as a people, we are stepping out of the boat in faith, trusting you that you will keep us afloat, that you will give us life, and that you will restore us and calm the storms, and that we will worship you and praise you, and that you will take us to the other side. So, Lord, I pray for everyone here who is in fear and worry, for those who are far away from you, Lord, for those who feel that you have deserted them and left them in the storm. Father, we pray that your Spirit may come and give them peace now and know that they are loved and that you are with them and that they can worship you anytime, in any situation. Amen.